Well, on this Mother's Day, welcome mothers, by the way. We love all of our mothers and all the mothers in this room and what you do. Thank you for your sacrifice. On this Mother's Day, we are going to be reading from Sermon on the Mount. We're in a series in the Sermon on the Mount, and today we're coming to how we should use our money. And so, you came to church on a day we're talking about money. And hear it out from Jesus, Matthew chapter 6, verse 19 to 24. If you have a copy of your God's Word, you can turn there or you can look up on the screens. This is Jesus speaking. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body. So if your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light in you is darkness, how great is the darkness? No one can serve two masters. For he will either hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. Well, this is God's word for us. You can have a seat, and let's go to the Lord in prayer as we seek to understand his word. Oh, Father, help us to understand your heart today. Give us the right perspective, the right horizon. Help us to see reality as it is, as you define it for us in your word here today. Open our hearts to understand. Help us to believe and apply your word. We pray that in Christ's name. Amen. Well, money is a big deal. It's a big deal to us. And how we use our money and our resources is a big deal to God. And today, Jesus is going to get very practical with us as he shows us how we should handle our money and material possessions and what that says about what is truly in our hearts. Jesus is going to speak to us about two treasures, two eyes, and two masters. And that's going to kind of frame the message for us. These three questions coming out of the text, three self-examination questions. The first question is this: where is your treasure? What is your eye fixed upon? Question number two: and who is your master? Where is your treasure? What is your eye fixed upon? And who is your master? So let's come to that first question. Where is your treasure? You see, right off the bat, we see that Jesus assumes that we will lay up treasures for ourselves. He doesn't say that's a bad thing to do. We are going to, as humans, lay up treasures for ourselves. The question is, where are we going to lay them up? There's two options. We can lay them up on earth or in heaven. Listen to what Jesus says in verse 19 about laying up treasures on earth. He says, do not lay up treasures for yourselves, treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. Now, right off the bat, we say that Jesus' teaching directly confronts everything we are told in this world, everything we've been fed from the time we're little to today. Because our world tells us to live for the here and now, or at least live for the future later in your life, so for retirement or some things. Indulge yourself, buy those clothes. Get more money, get more stuff. That is what our world says. You deserve it. But Jesus says, in effect, that thinking is completely wrong. That storing up treasures on earth is short-sighted. And why is that? Well, first, it's short-sighted because earthly treasures are temporary. Look at what the text says. They won't last. Notice the text. Moth and rust destroy earthly treasures. You see, in the first century, there was no banks. You didn't give your money to a bank and feel secure about that. You had to take your possessions, your earthly treasures, a lot of times that was clothing or precious metals, and you would put it in your house. Or some people would, in the parable, the guy buries it in a field. So you might bury your field in a treasure in a field, or you might have it in your house. But either way, it is temporary. Moths can eat through clothes. Precious metals rust. Jesus is saying earthly treasure is temporary. So don't store it up here. Not only will earthly treasures not last, they're also unstable and they're unsecure. Look at what the text says of earthly treasures. Thieves break in and steal. That word break in could also mean be translated breakthrough. In the first century, the homes were made of like clay, hardened clay. And so sometimes people would just dig right through the house and take your stuff. Thieves break in or break through and steal. Earthly treasures are vulnerable to theft. That's true in our day and age as well. But they're also, in our day and age, we have market downturns. We have inflation. Our earthly treasures are vulnerable. They can be taken. So according to Jesus, why should we not lay up treasures for ourselves on earth? Because earthly treasures, our money and our possessions, they are temporary and they are unsecure. They will quickly pass away, much like our lives will quickly pass away. The Bible says that our lives are like a mist, here today, gone tomorrow. So given this reality, Jesus tells us where we must store up our treasures in verse 20. Listen to what he says. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. So Jesus is just mirroring what he just said about treasures on earth, and he's saying this is why treasures in heaven are worth storing up, why you should store them up. Why is that? First, because they will last forever. Moth and rust will not destroy heavenly treasures. There's no moths, thankful, no moths in heaven, apparently, at least that are not going to eat clothes. Maybe they're friendly moths up in heaven. Who knows? They will last forever. Rust will not destroy our heavenly treasures. It's not corruptible. Second, because heavenly treasures are secure. Thieves do not break in and steal treasure in heaven. There's no stealing in heaven. So Jesus here is just giving us a simple, straightforward calculation. He is saying, do not store up treasures on earth. They are temporary, they're perishable, they're unsecure. But do store up treasures in heaven. They'll last forever. They will never perish. No one's going to steal them. It seems like it's an easy choice when it's laid out that way. Now, a few years ago, there was a series of commercials that Capital One put out, and they gave two choices between things, and the choice was very obvious. So one of these commercials, there was a basketball pickup game going on, and you could pick between like a little kid who really didn't know how to play basketball, and then there was Charles Barkley, who's an NBA Hall of Famer. And their whole point is, like, the choice is easy. Just like, I guess, Capital One. I'm not sure what they were trying to sell. But here, Jesus is saying, the choice is easy. He just puts these two things before us. He says, earthly treasures, heavenly treasures. What's the choice? It's an easy choice. It'd be foolish to lay up earthly treasures when you look at it this way. Another way to think about it is, some of us went on a trip to the Dominican Republic last year, a mission trip. We were there for 1 week. It'd be really foolish of us if we went on that trip and when we got down there, we decided, you know, I'm going to put a down payment on one of these places we're staying. I'm going to buy all the stuff I can so I can decorate this missionary house as well as possible for the week that I'm here. I need a pretty good bed here, so I'm going to go buy a bed for this 1 week mission trip. Well, friends, that may seem like odd. You would never do that. But that 1 week mission trip, in light of our whole life, is not even close to the comparison of our lives now and what eternity will be for us. And so when we store up earthly treasures, we're storing them up in a place that is not going to last. So why should we not store up treasures on earth? Because it's temporary, it's insecure. We should store up treasures in heaven because they will last forever. But even more important than the wisdom of storing up treasures, yes, it seems like an easy choice. Jesus says that the location of our treasure reveals our soul's condition. Listen to what he says in verse 21. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Notice that this is a statement of fact. Where your treasure is, as in where you are storing up your treasure, that is where your heart is. It's not a question mark. This is just what happens. Do you want to know where your heart is? Look at where your treasure is. Your heart is always in the same place. Billy Graham once said, "Tell me what you think about money, and I will tell you what you think about God." A man's heart is closer to his wallet than anything else. So if you're following Jesus' argument here, I hope you agree that storing up treasure for yourself in heaven is the better option. It's going to last forever, and it shows what is your true heart condition. If you're storing up treasure in heaven, it shows that where your heart is. And yet, for each one of us, I know this is true, the default temptation for each one of us is to store up treasures for ourselves on earth. We want more than we have now. We're constantly thinking about how we can earn more money, get a bigger house or a new car or more clothes or something for our kids or toys for ourselves, a new gadget. We're thinking we need a much bigger nest egg for the future in retirement. We're storing up treasures here on earth. So while we may affirm in our heads, and maybe Jesus' argument makes sense to us, yes, we should store up treasures in heaven, we're tempted to store up treasures on earth. That's why Jesus has to command us not to do it. If it wasn't a temptation, he wouldn't need to command it. So how do we believe Jesus here? How do we live this out? That is the rub of this passage. Well, we need to believe Jesus and his words. I'm convinced a lot of us don't believe that these words are true. We don't functionally believe that our heavenly treasures are worth more than earthly treasures. We think our earthly treasures are going to last. And why do we think that? Oftentimes, it's because we are not heavenly minded. We're only thinking about our lives and through the end of our lives here. We're thinking 6 years down the road, 60 years down the road, but not 6 million years down the road. Our sights are far too short. So to believe Jesus, we need to live by faith and not by sight. What do we learn in Hebrews chapter 11? Moses, he rejected all the treasures of Egypt because he knew there was a greater treasure out there. He lived for an eternal treasure. He wanted the treasures of knowing God and living for him. So I'd ask you this morning, where is your treasure? Where is your treasure? This isn't rocket science here. How do I determine where my treasure is? Well, here's a few things you can do. First question is, when you think of your money and your stuff, who is the owner? Who owns it? Do you own your stuff? Are you the owner, or is God the owner? That's the first question. See, God doesn't own 10% of your stuff that you give to him. God owns 100% of what you have, including your life. So who owns your stuff? That's the first place to question to ask. But then very practically, think about your priorities. Now, when you get some disposable income, or when you get a gift, a monetary gift, or some possession, think about, where does this money go? What do you do with that? Or very practically, when you look at your bank account, when you look at the bottom line, when you look at your possessions, what do you use them for? Do you mostly use them for yourself, for indulging yourself, or do you use it for others, for temporary earthly needs or God's kingdom purposes? Or when you think about the future, what gets you excited? Is it the house you're going to have? Is it the vacation you're going to go on? Or is it what God is doing in the world and how you can contribute to that work? This exercise helps us to see where our treasure functionally is. Now, it doesn't mean we can't have some stuff. God knows all the needs that we have. It's not wrong to have a place to live. It's not wrong to have possessions. But what do we do with those possessions? And what is our attitude towards the extra that he gives us? Another way to ask it from the other direction is not where is your stuff, where is your treasure, but where is your heart? In other words, what do you find yourself daydreaming about when you think about a purchase? Are they all earthly purchases? Or is it about giving of your time, resources, possessions, so that God's purposes would be accomplished? When you have free time to think, where does your mind go? What excites you? This will help you see where your heart is. And your heart is wherever your treasure is. And so right now, if you are thinking, well, I am not really passionate about the things of the Lord. I really know that I'm not focused on eternal things. My guess is, look at your bank account, and that is one of the biggest reasons why. Because your heart always follows your treasure. So you may be thinking, well, yeah, you've kind of convinced me. Heavenly treasures are better than earthly treasures. We need to invest in heaven. And you may be realizing, I'm not doing that. So how can I store up heavenly treasure? Well, the first question to ask is, who are you trusting in with your life? Are you trusting in yourself or Jesus Christ? If the answer is yourself, the first thing to do is repent and trust in Jesus. Because we need a new heart if we're going to have an eternal heavenly mindset. If we're going to lay up treasures in heaven, we need a new heart to do that. Our natural hearts, the way we're born, is just to focus on the here and now. So if you don't know Jesus yet, if you have not admitted your spiritual bankruptcy, your need for him, today the call for you is to turn and trust in Jesus. He'll give you a new heart. He'll give you new desires. But many of us are believers. And we may be sensing, yeah, my treasure is not in heaven. It's really on earth. And you feel that tension. You feel that tension in your life. So the question is, how can I store up treasures in heaven? Well, helpfully, Scripture tells us. If you flip ahead just to Matthew 19, verse 21, Jesus tells a man, how do you have treasures in heaven? Sell your possessions, give to the poor. So some of you are really good at Facebook Marketplace. You love selling stuff. One very tangible way to store up treasure in heaven is to just use Facebook Marketplace for your stuff and use that money, whatever it is, whatever you sell, use that for kingdom purposes. Store up treasure in heaven. In Luke 16:9, Jesus says to use our wealth to gain friends for ourselves evangelistically, really to bring people to Christ. Use our resources so that people would come to know Jesus. So you want to store up treasure in heaven? Give to the Lord's work. Give to those who are spreading the gospel. That will give you a treasure in heaven. In 1 Timothy 6:18, Paul tells Timothy this. He says to command the rich in this world. A lot of us pass by this. They're like, well, I'm not rich. In light of world history, in light of the world right now, no matter how much money you have, you are rich in light of the whole world. So this is for all of us. To the rich in this world, to do what? To do good, to be rich in good works, to be generous, ready to share, that it will help store up a treasure for themselves and a good foundation for the future. So what does it mean to store up treasures in heaven? At a bare minimum, just from these three texts, it means to give sacrificially to those in need, to the poor, to those around you in need, to use your resources to bring people to Christ, to be generous, not close-fisted, but open-handed, and generous and ready to share, to be rich in good works. That's how you store up treasures in heaven. So I'd ask you again, where is your treasure? Jesus says, store it up in heaven. It brings us to the second question coming out of the text, which is this: what is your eye fixed upon? Jesus next talks about two eyes, the healthy eye and the bad eye, or the evil eye, some people would say. Another way that he's helping us discern where our hearts are at. First, Jesus gives a general principle. The eye is the lamp of the body. That's what he says. In other words, our eyes determine what our bodies do. If we can see, and I know I need to walk there, then I can start walking because my eye sees and my body will follow. So, Jesus says, if your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. Now, Jesus is talking metaphorically here. He's saying that when what we fix our eyes upon matter, what we look at matters, our desires matter. What we fix our eyes upon reflects what's in our hearts. And in the first century, in the Jewish world, the eye and the heart were roughly equivalents. So Jesus is saying, if we have healthy hearts, hearts that are transformed by Christ, then we will have healthy eyes. And our bodies, how we respond to life, will be in the light. We will see what we should do and how we should live according to God's perspective. A healthy eye is an eye that's focused singularly on the things of God. This word healthy could also be translated generous. The healthy eye is the generous eye. It's the eye looking to give. It's the eye looking to help. Well, next, Jesus details the evil eye in verse 23. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? The bad eye, the evil eye, could also be translated the miserly eye, the close-fisted eye, if that's even possible, close-fisted eye. It's a heart that's close-fisted. A bad eye comes from a bad heart, which is focused merely on earthly things. Now, if you don't know Jesus this morning, that is your reality. You are focused just on the here and now. Your eye is bad. You're not clearly seeing reality as it is. You're not seeing all of eternity before you. You're just seeing the here and now. The call to you is to trust in Jesus. But even those of us who know Jesus can get cloudy eyes by setting them on the wrong things. So the question is, what are you fixing your eyes upon? In other words, what are you desiring most? Is it the things of this earth? Is it possessions, houses, cars, toys, stuff? Remember, the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches are what choke the word, we learn in the parable of the sower. It makes us unfruitful. Have you been captivated by the deceitfulness of riches and the cares of this world? Or is your eye fixed on the things of heaven? How to bless others, how to bring them to Christ, serving others with what God has given you, blessing missionaries, blessing your neighbors, seeking to bring them to Christ. See, identifying what your eye is fixed upon will help you see. If you didn't get question number one, what is your treasure? Where is your treasure? Question number two is intended to help clarify. What is your eye fixed upon? What do you look at? What do you scroll on your phone about? That's what your eye is fixed upon. It'll also help you answer the third question coming out of this text, which is this. Who is your master? Who is your master? Listen to how Jesus frames it. No one, verse 24, no one can serve two masters, for he will either hate the one or love the other. He will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. Can't do it. Jesus is saying, don't be deceived. Many of us think, well, yeah, I can just kind of store up stuff here on earth and in heaven. I can kind of do both. I can ride the fence. Jesus said, not possible. It's not possible. You can't serve both. This is language of the first century where there were masters and slaves. You don't have multiple masters. You only have one master that you serve. And that is what Jesus is referring to, is your master God, or is it money, or the things that money can buy? That's mammon is the word. It's really wealth, anything money can buy. You know, Jesus here is kind of speaking and calling out the Pharisees. The Pharisees at the time, we learn, were lovers of money. This is a really big deal. Loving money means you cannot love God. That's why in the qualifications for elders, an elder must not be a lover of money. That's why in the last days, when people are corrupt, they will be lovers of money, Scripture says. Friends, you can't love money and love God. You can't serve money and serve God. There's no fence riding. So if you are trying to rationalize in your mind, you just can't do it. But the only way that we can lay up treasures in heaven and have a single focus, healthy eye on God's kingdom and have God as our master and Lord is if we have trusted in Jesus Christ. So to be clear, the way we give, the way we store up treasures, what our eye is fixed upon, these are just indicators of what's truly in our hearts. Jesus is being very kind to us. He's showing us this litmus test. You want to know what's in your heart? Look at where your treasures are. Look at what your eye is fixed upon. That's what's in your heart. But we're not saved by giving money to worthy places. We're not saved by our good works. We're not saved by helping others. We are only saved by the grace of God when we trust in Jesus Christ, that he, though he was rich, became poor so that by his poverty we might become rich. It's only when we trust in his righteousness that we get a transformed heart that wants to store up treasure in heaven, that wants to have our eye fixed upon heavenly things. And then he becomes our master. That is how we obey this passage, by trusting in Christ. Friends, God is the most generous being in the universe. There is no one more generous than God. For God so loved the world that he gave his son. Can't get more generous than that. Jesus, though he was rich, became poor so that by his poverty you might become rich. So friends, when you trust in Jesus, you are given the very heart of God. You are given a generous heart, a giving heart. And so if you have your hands closed, it either means you don't trust in Christ or you are grieving his spirit within you. Because Christians should be the most generous people on the planet. Because God has given us his son and has given us of his spirit. When you come and trust in Christ, it changes the way you view and handle money. Think of famous conversions in Scripture. We see this. Zacchaeus, the tax collector, when he came to know Christ, what did he do? He gave away half of his goods, gave them to the poor, and he said, I'll pay back fourfold whoever I have defrauded. Remember in Acts 19, the Ephesian believers, many of whom practice magic and witchcraft, they had all these books. When they came to Christ, what did they do? They sold their books. Scholars today estimate their books were worth $6 million. These are very costly books. But for the sake of Christ, they were willing to give it up. The believers in Macedonia were told that they were extremely poor. They had extreme poverty, but out of their poverty, they gave, and they gave generously, even beyond what they were able to do. So friends, when Jesus saves us, when he gets a hold of our hearts and lives, he gives us his heart, and his heart is generous, and his heart is a giving heart. Martin Luther said there are three conversions necessary in the Christian life: the heart, the mind, and the purse. He meant your wallet. John Wesley said the last part of a man to be converted is his wallet. So I wonder if there's someone here today. Maybe you do trust in Christ, but your wallet has not been converted. You have been resisting God in this area. For you, you are called to repent. Jesus is commanding us, do not store up treasures on earth. Do store up treasures in heaven. If we are storing up treasures on earth, it is sin. It is a matter of sin. It's not just like, I'm trying to do that. We are in sin, and we need to repent. But you may be thinking, well, this call of Jesus to be generous and store up treasures, man, that is kind of, that feels like drudgery. It feels like legalism. Well, friends, that's wrong. This call of Jesus is for our best and for our joy. He has made us. He has made us to flourish as humans. And if you want to flourish as a human, this is how you must live. It's for our joy. The Bible says it's more blessed to give than it is to receive. God loves a cheerful giver because he's given us joy. When we give, he unlocks joy in our heart. I wonder if you know that joy, the joy of giving. The secret is that true joy is found as we free ourselves from our stuff. And Jesus is helping us do that in this passage, not by accumulating more. You think you have more stuff, you'll be more happy, you'll be able to pay off all those bills. You're not going to be more happy. Look at most of the wealthiest people in our world. They're not the happiest in our world. Jesus is calling us into a life of abundant joy. Now, as we've gone through the text, I know there's some resistance. I just want to anticipate some barriers that come to mind when you think about storing up treasures in heaven and living in this way, which is the basic Christian life, by the way. This is not for spiritual, super spiritual people. This is the basic Christian life. First barrier, probably something like this: fear. Well, I'm afraid. I'm just not going to have enough. Whatever that is, I'm not going to have enough. Answer? Well, come back next week because Jesus is going to talk about do not worry when you don't have all this stuff. Seek first his kingdom, all these things will be given to you. It's not health and wealth, but God will provide. Do you trust God and his promises, or do you trust your own wisdom when it comes to money? Second barrier may be thinking, well, this is foolish. It just doesn't seem wise to, like, I have this stuff and I'm going to, like, give it away and I'm going to give it to other people. The answer to that, obeying your Lord and Savior is never foolish. It's the wisest thing you could ever do. The third barrier is, well, this is not applicable for me. I don't have any money. I can't even pay my bills. I got all these debts. Yeah, I'll obey this, like, in 10, 15 years. Wrong. Who gave the most in all of the Gospels? It was the widow who gave all that she had to live on. She had two small coins. Jesus said she gave more than everyone else in the temple, even all the rich people. It's not the amount that you're giving that matters to God. He cares about your heart. You may be giving away $10,000 a week, and that's not enough because he wants your heart, and he wants all of you. Well, you might also have a barrier. I won't be happy. This can be like, if I give away all this stuff, like, stuff makes me happy. That's kind of like my pleasures. Well, that is a lie. Because God has given us everything richly to enjoy. We don't have to give away everything necessarily. He gives us stuff richly to enjoy, Scripture says. It's not a command to be poor. It's not a command not to be wise with money and have some wisdom, so don't think that. But this is a command not to be selfishly indulging of ourselves and to store up for ourselves treasures on earth. Not only will you be happy if you live this way, you will experience the most joy possible as a human being. Those who are sacrificially generous will tell you that truth. When you give, it unlocks joy in your heart. That's how God has made it to work. So you will be happy. So as we conclude, remember, believer, that these riches are yours, the riches that are yours if you know Jesus. You have an eternal inheritance in the heavens. God owns everything. He's made you a son or daughter. How could you be less secure than that? You're secure. The King of Kings is your dad. Don't forget who your dad is. So I'd ask you, are you living as an exile? That this is not your home? That you know you're a pilgrim? That this is going to be maybe 10, 20, 50, 70, 90 years, but then you're going to live forever? Are you living as if that is true? Or are you living as if these 5 to 90 years is all you got? Friends, don't be duped into the thinking of this world. Don't be duped into the lies of this world that tell us to store up and accumulate. Jesus wants us to give. He wants us to focus on eternal, heavenly treasures. Don't plan just for 60 years down the road. Plan for 6 million years down the road. We got some financial advisors in our congregation. I've challenged them. So you're challenging your people to plan for retirement and such. How are you helping them plan for 6 million years down the road? So friend, are you planning for 6 million years down the road? Are you just thinking so short term? 60, 70 years old, 80 years old. Don't leave it short. So Jesus is asking, where's your treasure? He says, store it up in heaven. What is your eye fixed upon? He wants us to fix it upon God's kingdom, to have a singular mind, generous heart. Who is your master? Come to Jesus. He will give you rest and he will give you the most joy that you could ever imagine. Friends, where are you storing up your treasures? Is it on earth or is it on heaven? Let's listen to Jesus and store it up in heaven. Let's pray.